It's time for the Local Beat with Dave O'Brien, brought to you by Vandemark Jewelers on East Broad Street in Elyria, a trusted name in jewelry. And as we do each and every Wednesday morning here on the WEOL Morning Show, we welcome in Dave O'Brien from the Chronicle-Telegram. Dave, how are we doing today?
We're good, Rocco. Thanks.
Fantastic, Dave. Optimistic as always, and I envy some of that optimism as we move through the middle part of the week here. But wanted to start with a story from your colleague Jason Hawk. This one coming in the Chronicle-Telegram, on Tuesday morning. Changes could be coming to the environment over at the Amherst Police Department. Jason had again had the write-up on this. So what can you tell me about this one, Dave?
So this report that was put together by a company called LeBrun Management Solutions in Beaver Creek, which is a consulting company that was hired by Amherst Mayor Mark Coslow and Safety Service Director John Jeffries, basically to learn about why some Amherst police officers had resigned in the past 2 years. Basically, the force has lost four officers over the last 2 years, and it's a small police department, so there's some concern as to why officers are leaving. Well, the report was rather damning of current police chief Joseph Kasterik. A lot of the staff members, current and former, said that Kasterik was basically a source of frustration, stress, and low morale. There were concerns about his leadership style, that he had kind of a military or sort of dictatorial style of leadership. Police officers were concerned that they might be being recorded with secret microphones. 57% of the staff said they didn't feel like the chief cared about them, and another 67%, two-thirds of the staff said they don't think it's easy to communicate with their leaders about a problem that happens in the police department. Most, it's slightly more than the majority still look forward to going to work day to day, and about the same number said they wouldn't recommend working at the Amherst Police Department. Morale is low. Basically, there were concerns that the Kasterik might be using department property to spy on his own officers, to kind of track their movements, using video equipment and GPS trackers. The staff felt like they were being spied on. Also, one direct quote from the report is that he threatens to take things away and will target staff that gets in his way. And that the quote goes on to say that the chief is perceived as being vindictive, inflexible, and closed-minded. Now, for that particular story, Chief Kasterik was not available for comment. I know that he has since commented to my colleague Jason Hawk, and there should be a follow-up story on that in today's Chronicle-Telegram.
Wow. All right. So clearly some communication issues happening over there. Dave, have you seen anything like this before within the police departments? Does change typically happen after something like this, or is this just sort of a wait-and-see stage right now for the folks in Amherst?
Well, I've seen other police departments deal with these kinds of issues, and oftentimes they kind of simmer directly under the surface, and then sometimes they will blow up, and you'll see on occasion, police unions will, or even fire unions, if you're talking about the fire service, will issue votes of no confidence in their chiefs or in captains or in people of that similar command rank. I don't believe it's gotten to that point yet, and Mayor Coslow said he's working with labor attorneys to just make sure the city doesn't overstep in figuring out what issues need to be viewed and looked at and possibly if policies or procedures need to be worked on based on this assessment. But like I said, it's a rather damning one for the chief, and he'll have his opportunity to comment, and you should see his comments in today's story.
All right. Well, we'll keep an eye out on that. Great work by Jason Hawk. Again, that initial report coming in Tuesday's Chronicle-Telegram. You can check it out there if you want to read up more on that. Dave, the second story I wanted to talk about here with you this morning comes from your colleague Dylan Reynolds. We'll head on over to North Ridgeville, where they've had some flooding issues and could possibly be seeing some improvements and changes made to sort of help that. So what are the details with this one?
Well, the details here, basically, the city is looking at different ways to help control flooding issues. Now, with development and with continued building of roads and housing developments, with more infrastructure going in, basically water seeks out the lowest point, right? We all kind of know that's how gravity works. So water tends to flow downhill, and unfortunately, it can flow into a place where there's not enough room for that water to stay. It overflows its banks, whether it's a creek or a lake or a retention pond, and you see some real serious issues with flooding. Now, the city is working on a multi-million dollar project, and there's no real timeline for this project's completion. But basically, what's called the Mills Creek Conservation and Flood Control Project is planned to divert some water from away from Cypress Avenue. Some pipes and ditches will then take that water and spit it out into a triangular 40-acre property in the area of Boulder Drive. Now, that is possibly going to be able to store about 40 million gallons of water in basins and kind of double as a public park, be a habitat for wildlife, you know, that have been moved around due to development and things like that. There will be some paved paths that could be used when the water is not too high. Currently, it's a wooded area, but city engineers, you know, the Safety Service Director Jeff Armbrist, a lot of them have discussed about just how to best control some of these flooding problems. This project could cost up to $5 million. The city has been awarded about $1 million already to buy some property, also to cover some of the costs of designing the proper engineering to get the water to flow where they want it to go. Another $400,000 came to the city back in 2017. That also was for property acquisition. So City Council also just recently accepted another $500,000 grant from the Ohio Department of Natural Resources to use. So they're edging their way up on getting this project paid for. And a lot of this is due to, apparently, according to Jeff Armbrister, a lot of this is due to when they built Interstate 480, retention basins weren't required. So a lot of this water is coming as a result of Interstate 480, you know, going through North Ridgeville and the water not really having anywhere to go. So it's affecting the whole region, and that might be, you know, one way the city could get some more money is that it has a wider effect than just North Ridgeville. But flooding is always an issue in cities and villages and townships. It's something that I've been reporting on for almost the last 20 years about flooding issues.
So an expensive project here, but certainly one that seems necessary. Again, going through the write-up here from Dylan Reynolds and speaking with you here, Dave, again, just something that seems necessary. And like you said, not just benefiting North Ridgeville, but also sort of those surrounding areas as they try and get that flooding under control. So great explanation on that one there, Dave. Again, Dave O'Brien is our guest here from the Chronicle-Telegram on the local beat, brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers on East Broad Street in Elyria. Dave, what are you and your colleagues over at the Chronicle-Telegram working on as far as upcoming stories go this week?
Well, today you should see another story by Dylan about the guidance provided by the state health department as schools are trying to figure out their masking policies as we head into the next school year, you know, whether or not students are going to have to mask up or whether that's going to be optional for a lot of students going back to school. He has some more reporting on North Ridgeville about their fire department radios, which has been an ongoing issue. And then some school board stories, school board story from Chris Whitehatch. And then I did two short court stories that you should see in today's paper.
All right. So Chronicle Telegram, ChronicleT.com, the spots to go. And Dave, just quickly as an aside here, you mentioned the schools planning as far as handling COVID when things start back up. It's just a quick reminder, right, that we're not totally out of the woods with things yet. I've already seen nationally some schools, you know, first couple of weeks they have to wear masks and just a kind of different way of doing things in each state. But it's just kind of crazy to me how here we are, you know, post, you know, halfway through 2021, I should say, and still not out of the woods yet.
Absolutely, and we need to remind everybody that if you're not vaccinated, please do mask up. It does help. It does, you know, it does give a sense of security to other people. And if you can't mask up, you know, for the reason that you can't get the vaccine because you have some sort of underlying health condition, that's understandable. We all get that. But you know, just be kind to each other. You know, it's the old saying that, you know, be kind to each other. And basically, if you can get vaccinated, it's a good idea. You know, I'm fully vaccinated, and I know many other people are as well. I know some people that are not for various reasons, but everybody's got a reason for why they do that. So just be aware of, you know, it's just good to be kind to each other.
There you go. Be kind to each other. It's easier said than done sometimes, but that is the golden rule we can all live by. All right, on to the fun stuff here. Dave, what do you have for me in the way of a scanner story?
Well, a very, very quick one here, again, from our friends at Northeast Ohio Scanner over on Twitter. Dateline Cleveland Heights, apologies to Cleveland Heights for picking on them this time, but a disturbance was reported at Forest Hills Park where there was apparently a male pleasuring himself at a picnic table.
Ah, well, not enough pleasure just to be at the park. He had to just take it one step farther, didn't he? That's just, that's not what you want to see at all. Dave, thank you so much for the insight this week. Check out his latest over at ChronicleT.com. Pick up a copy of the Chronicle Telegram today. Dave, thank you very much for your time. Look forward to catching up some more next week, man.
Thank you, Rocco, and we'll talk to you later.